This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What the communication medium richness hierarchy tells you about the best way to confront toxic traits. Choose the right medium, and toxic traits lose their power to dodge accountability. In short, toxic traits are harmful behavioural patterns such as manipulation, gaslighting, or explosive anger that damage relationships and teams when left unaddressed. The medium you choose to confront toxic behaviour determines whether it lands or gets deflected. Richer mediums, like in person or video, carry the weight that serious confrontations require. Preparation and the right framework turn a dreaded conversation into an effective one. Definition: toxic traits confrontation is the deliberate, structured act of addressing persistent harmful behaviours in another person, choosing a communication medium and approach that match the seriousness of the situation, with the aim of producing clarity, accountability, and real behavioural change. You sent a message. You laid it all out. You were careful, measured, fair. The reply came back 2 hours later, 3 lines, a shrug in text form, and somehow the whole thing got turned around so that you were the problem. Sound familiar? That is what toxic traits do when you challenge them through the wrong door. You chose a lean medium for a heavy conversation, and the weight fell right through the floor. I've spent decades watching good people fail to address harmful behaviour, not because they lacked courage, but because they chose the wrong tool for the job. Confronting toxic traits is not simply about finding the words. It is about choosing the medium that gives those words their proper force. In Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the communication medium richness hierarchy, a ranked model that changes how you approach every difficult conversation, especially those involving manipulation, gaslighting, and explosive anger. This article teaches the model in full so you can use it today. What toxic traits actually look like in the room. Toxic traits are not dramatic villains from a film. They are patterns of behaviour, often quiet ones, that consistently cause harm to the people around them. Manipulation, gaslighting, passive aggression, explosive anger, chronic blame shifting, these are not one-off bad days. They are occurring responses that a person defaults to when they feel threatened, cornered, or simply accustomed to getting their own way. Here is a scenario I have seen play out more times than I can count. A team leader notices that one colleague, Marcus, regularly takes credit for others' ideas in meetings, then privately dismisses anyone who questions him as too sensitive. Two colleagues raise the issue over a group chat. Marcus responds with a string of messages that reframe the entire history of the project, casting himself as the one who has been misunderstood. By the time the conversation ends, the colleagues who raised the concern feel confused, guilty, and strangely apologetic. Nothing changes. What happened? The concern was real. The people raising it were right. But the medium, a text-based group chat, handed Marcus every advantage a manipulative person could want. No tone. No eye contact. No real-time accountability. Plenty of time to craft a deflection. Toxic traits thrive in lean communication environments because lean mediums strip out the very signals that hold people accountable. If you want to understand how to handle conflict during meetings when toxic behaviour surfaces in real time, the same principle applies: the richer and more immediate the exchange, the less room there is for distortion. The communication medium richness hierarchy explained. In Say It Right Every Time, I describe the communication medium richness hierarchy as a ranked model for matching your communication channel to the difficulty of the conversation. From richest to leanest, the hierarchy runs like this: in person, video call, phone call, email, text message. A rich medium carries more information. A person conversation gives you tone, facial expression, body language, real-time response, and the weight of physical presence. A text message carries almost none of that. It is bare words on a screen, and bare words are easily twisted. The rule is straightforward: the more serious the behaviour you are addressing, the richer the medium you need. Confronting a toxic pattern, a persistent one that has already survived a casual mention or two, is a high-stakes conversation by definition. It deserves the richest medium available to you. That almost always means in person, or video call when in person is not possible. There is a second rule that matters just as much. When you are forced to use a leaner medium, compensate with extra clarity and kindness. If you must send an email before a gaslighting conversation, keep the language factual, specific, and free of emotional accusation. The email is not the confrontation. It is a written record to anchor you to reality before the confrontation happens, as I outline in Chapter 11 of Say It Right every time, the real conversation still needs to happen in a richer medium. Script 116 from the book captures the transition cleanly. This feels like a conversation we should have by phone or in person. Text isn't great for this kind of thing. When can we talk? That single move, pulling a difficult exchange out of a lean medium and into a richer one, changes the entire dynamic before a word of the real conversation has been spoken. Where toxic traits find their grip. Toxic behaviour does not just hurt in the moment. It reshapes how people around it operate. Teams that contain and address toxic patterns start self-censoring. People stop volunteering ideas. They double-check every message for how it might be weaponized. They begin managing around the person rather than with them. The energy cost is enormous, and most of it is invisible until it is too late. This is why how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy is worth reading alongside this article. The medium question and the opening question are two sides of the same coin. There is something I have said for years, and it holds as true today as it ever did. The discomfort of having the conversation is temporary. The regret of avoiding it lasts forever. Toxic traits do not self-correct. They expand into whatever space you leave them. Avoidance is not patience. It is permission. A boundary without enforcement is just a suggestion. I have watched managers write careful emails about unacceptable behaviour, then say nothing when the behaviour continues the following week, because the email felt like enough. It was not. A lean message sent once and never followed up is not a boundary. It is a signal that the behaviour is negotiable. Three beliefs that make toxic traits harder to confront. Misconception 1. Matching the person's energy will show them you are serious. The false belief. If someone is explosive or aggressive, being firm and forceful back will establish that you mean business. The correction. Anger feeds on anger. When you match explosive behaviour with your own heat, you hand the other person exactly what they need to reframe the confrontation as a mutual fight rather than a behavioural problem. The person with the toxic pattern walks away having repositioned themselves as a victim. Script 110 from my book gives you the alternative. I can see that you're very upset, and I want to understand what's going on. However, I need us to have this conversation calmly. Stay calm. It is not weakness. It is the move. It keeps the focus where it belongs. Misconception 2. Addressing toxic behaviour once is enough. The false belief. You had the conversation. You said what needed saying. If the behaviour continues, that is on them. The correction. One conversation addressed in the wrong medium, or without follow-through, often achieves nothing except alerting the person to be more careful. Toxic patterns are typically well practiced. They have survived other confrontations before yours. You need consistency, the right medium, and genuine enforcement of whatever boundaries you name. Misconception 3. Gaslighting is just a disagreement about facts. The false belief. When someone tells you your memory of events is wrong, maybe you're both just remembering it differently. The correction. Gaslighting is the deliberate denial of another person's reality, and it is one of the most disorienting toxic traits to confront. The antidote is clarity and a written record. Before a gaslighting conversation, write down what happened, with dates and specifics, so you have an anchor to reality when the distortion begins. Script 112 from Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time puts it plainly. I know what I experienced. You're trying to tell me it didn't happen that way, but I was there. I remember it clearly. Manipulation thrives in confusion. It dies in clarity. Understanding these patterns is also essential when you are working through how to address passive-aggressive behavior, silently eroding team synergy, since passive aggression is one of the most common toxic traits precisely because it is the hardest to name. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Three situations where the medium made all the difference. Situation 1. The colleague who rewrites history. Sarah had been documenting a pattern for weeks. Her colleague consistently took credit in group settings, and then, when questioned privately, claimed Sarah had misunderstood the context. Sarah finally raised it, but she did it over email. His reply was a masterpiece of reframing. It took three paragraphs to establish that Sarah was confused, overly emotional, and reading into things. She had no way to respond in real time. The conversation was over before it started, when she eventually raised the same concern in a face-to-face meeting with a third party present. The dynamic shifted entirely. He could not rewrite the room. Situation 2. The manager, who erupts. A department head had a pattern of losing his composure when challenged in team meetings. His team had learned to go silent rather than risk the outburst. One direct report, having read about how to match your communication medium to the stakes of a team synergy conversation, requested a one-to-one conversation rather than raising the issue in the group setting where the explosions usually happened. She prepared using the master method mental preparation, anticipated objections, structured her three key points, timed the conversation for after a calm morning, engaged with full presence, and reflected afterward. The conversation was hard, but the manager, faced with calm directness in a private setting, could not perform for an audience. He listened. Situation 3. The text message, it should have been a phone call. Two friends had been navigating tension for months. One finally addressed what she saw as manipulative behavior, but she did it by text because it felt safer. The other person read the message at midnight, alone, and replied at 2 a.m. in a defensive spiral. By morning, something irreparable had almost happened. When they eventually spoke by phone, the same concerns landed differently. Tone pauses. The absence of attack. These things only exist in richer mediums. You cannot hear someone's sincerity in a text message. You can in their voice. This is exactly the kind of situation where scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy can help you find the right words once you have chosen the right medium. Preparing to use the master method. Knowing which medium to use is the first move. Knowing what to say when you get there is the next. And say it right every time. I describe the master method as a six-step framework for preparing and executing high-stakes conversations, exactly the kind that toxic traits demand. Mental preparation comes first. I use negative visualization here. Picture the conversation going badly, the explosive reaction, the deflection, the gaslighting. Prepare for the worst so you are not thrown by it. Anticipating objections is next. A person with a toxic pattern will almost certainly redirect, minimize, or counter-accuse. Name those moves in your preparation so they do not catch you off guard. Structuring your key points means limiting yourself to three specific, factual points, not a list of every grievance going back 2 years. 3 points, stated clearly, are far harder to deflect than a sprawling emotional appeal. Timing matters more than most people realize. Choose a moment when neither party is already stressed or distracted. Engaging with full presence means putting your phone away, holding eye contact, and staying genuinely focused on what the other person says, not just waiting for your next line. Reflecting afterward closes the loop what worked, what did not, and whether a follow-up conversation is needed. When things go wrong despite good preparation, the recover method provides a path back. It covers recognizing what went wrong, ending the conversation if it becomes unproductive, cooling down before re-engaging, owning any mistakes you made, acknowledging the other person's experience, explaining your intent, and recommitting to resolution. A failed conversation is not a final one. For situations where you are navigating the feedback direction from below, how to give feedback to your manager without damaging the relationship pairs well with this framework, as does how to give constructive feedback without causing tension for peer-level confrontations. What to do after you read this? Here is the truth of it: knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. I have met people who could describe every framework in this article and still could not pick up the phone and start the conversation. The gap between knowing and doing is not closed by more information. It is closed by decision. If there is a toxic pattern in your workplace or your life that you have been addressing through lean mediums, emails, texts, cautious messages designed to leave no trace, stop. The behavior is surviving because you have been handing it every advantage. Choose a richer medium. Prepare your 3 points. Name the specific behavior, not the character of the person. Stay calm when the deflection comes, because it will come. Enforce the boundary you set rather than restating it as a suggestion. Toxic traits confrontation is not a single event. It is a practice, one that gets steadier with repetition and preparation. You deserve conversations that actually change things. The medium is where that starts. Frequently asked questions. What is toxic traits confrontation? Toxic traits confrontation is the deliberate act of addressing harmful behavioral patterns in another person, such as manipulation, gaslighting, or explosive anger, using a communication method matched to the seriousness of the situation. The goal is clarity, accountability, and behavioral change, not just venting frustration. Why does the communication medium matter when addressing toxic traits? Toxic traits often survive because they are challenged in the wrong medium. A text message cannot carry the weight of a gaslighting accusation. A lean medium strips out tone, expression, and real-time response, giving the toxic person room to distort, deflect, or simply ignore what you said. What is the communication medium richness hierarchy? The communication medium richness hierarchy is a ranked model for choosing how to have a conversation based on its difficulty, from richest to leanest in person, video call, phone call, email, text message. The harder the conversation, the richer the medium you need to hold it properly. Should I address toxic behavior over email or text? Almost never for the initial confrontation. Email and text are lean mediums that strip out tone and body language, creating space for misreading and deflection. They can serve a supporting role, such as a written record before a gaslighting conversation, but the confrontation itself deserves a richer medium. How do I prepare before confronting someone with toxic traits? Use what I describe as the master method in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time: mental preparation first, then anticipate objections, structure your key points, time the conversation carefully, engage with full presence, and reflect afterward. Preparation turns a reactive outburst into a purposeful confrontation. What if the conversation goes badly when I confront toxic behavior? That happens, even when you prepare well. The recover method gives you a path back. Recognize what went wrong. End the conversation if needed. Cool down. Own your mistakes. Acknowledge their experience. Explain your intent. And recommit to resolution. A failed conversation is not a final conversation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.